Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, for study number 72. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 72- Use It Lawfully. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Word of God says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Now let's pray. Father, give us divine wisdom and a touch from heaven with the blessed Holy Spirit. I pray you'd touch our tongue, our heart, and our mind, that we might rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, help us to say everything we need to say and hold back nothing. And I pray at the same time, Father, we wouldn't insert things we shouldn't say. Take full charge of my mind and heart, and then take full charge of our hearers today. Those who are listening, I pray, God, you'd open their understanding. Bless them. Thank you, Lord, for our audience that we cannot see. But I pray, God, you'd bless them in a real way. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Now this study, which is number 72, it'll be the last portion of this verse using the phrase, "Use it lawfully." We'll finish this verse in this lesson and move on to verse 9 in our next study. If possible, go back and start with study number 1 and go back and study them all over from 1 up to where we are now, if you just now found these studies. Now, the whole series on 1 Timothy will give you a working knowledge of the Word of God. We will review what we have learned in this verse, or at least recap what Paul is trying to get us to see. The believers here at Ephesus, or at least some of them, are confused about what they should be teaching. Some were holding to the grace of God because they had been changed by the grace of God like Paul had. There were some, however, who still held to the law and had not been changed by this grace of God. Now, the grace of God had not changed them, and they were holding to what they had learned and been taught most or all of their life. These had not experienced the salvation of God by grace through faith. They had the desire to hang on to and get back into the rituals and doctrines that they were used to. I believe this study is an interesting study and will bless your heart, or at least it has blessed mine in preparing it to preach. May God add His touch to it as we send it forth. Our goal and desire is to teach, to train, and to inform the saints of God. And in doing so, our ultimate goal is to glorify God, exalt the Savior, and to edify the church. Now, there was a division in this church here in Ephesus, like they are the divisions in many of our churches today. These two groups of people had caused another group to develop as well. There were those who knew Paul was persuasive, and they wanted to believe him. These also had friends in the congregation that were also persuasive, that held to the law, and they wanted to believe them too. They were at a point of having to make a choice, and they were in a turmoil, I'm sure. They were in the balance and could not get settled on what to believe, or even in this case, who to believe. Those who followed the law thought Paul was trying to divide the church, and Paul knew those who taught the law or wanted to teach the law could divide the church if they were left to do what they had set out to do. Paul also knew that those that desired to stay under the law would continue to divide and confuse the ones who were not convinced of what was right. These that were not settled could possibly be destroyed with these bad teachings, and this concerned the apostle. If they were not destroyed, they would at least not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, and they'd not be prosperous in serving God. Paul didn't want that either. With all that in mind, I say today that Paul sets out to resolve this issue in this verse number 8. He says that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. The word "use" means to employ, to make use of, to utilize, apply, or manage. Now, Paul knew he had to be careful about his words. If he was harsh on the law and crushed it before his opposition, they would not listen to anything else he had to say. He wanted to win them, not run them off. So he said the law is good if a man use it lawfully or correctly. He was trying to convince those who taught the law to take another look at what they believed and draw the conclusion, as he did, to let the grace of God change their lives and their hearts as well. The word lawfully means to be legal. It means to be official. It means to be legitimate or properly. The word lawfully is mentioned only two times in the Scriptures, and both are found in the New Testament. The first mention of the word lawfully is found here in our verse 8, and the second time it's mentioned is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and it reads, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Now, in our text verse, Paul is saying that the law is good if a man use it legally or if he use it properly. In other words, Paul is saying the law is okay and good if it is used in the way it is meant to be used. If it is used the way God intended it to be used, it would be okay and bring glory to God. If used correctly or lawfully as God intended it to be used, it would bring souls to Christ through and by the grace of God. Remember, the early church here is made up of a lot of Jewish people, and the grace of God is not something they knew a lot about. In order to get things settled, Paul is going to have to convince them that the law is really good and is a useful tool to bring men and women to Christ. The only way he can do that is through the preaching of the Word of God. The only way to know about the grace of God is to experience the grace of God in salvation. That is the reason we can say that these were not saved. When anybody experiences the grace of God, they are saved. And you do not have to ask them about what the grace of God can do. When Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he did not question what had happened. He knew God had made a change in his life. He knew, amen, that very well. You know, when you are saved by grace, because grace changes your life, amen. When the devil moves out and the Lord moves in, you will notice the difference immediately. You will talk different. You will walk different. You will think different. You will be a brand new creature. That is absolutely so. Now, Paul does not have the whole Bible here in this portion of Scripture as you and I have today. And the only way he can convince these Jews is to use the law to convince them. We find how Paul does this. If we go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul was set out on his first missionary journey here. And in Acts chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, the Bible said, "And after the reading," notice this, "and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up. Amen. When he got up, brother, things changed. It said, "Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." He's saying, "Listen to me. I want to get your undivided attention." Notice Paul reads the law and the prophets in the synagogue. Then he starts preaching on the word out of the law. Now, we need to remember today that the Jews have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. They've crucified him here in this verse. Jesus was crucified because of their rejection. He died and was buried and then rose from the dead. If you will notice in this 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul did not start with that. He started his message by going back to Abraham and back to the Israelites who fell into bondage in Egypt. This is exactly what they had been taught as a child. He reminded these Jews in that congregation that they had been chosen of God and ridiculed by the world, and then later God come along and delivered them out of the land of Egypt. That was on their mind, and Paul wanted to remind them of it. Paul then took them on through the Old Testament and brought them down to John the Baptist, to the early ministry of Jesus on the earth. Paul is establishing the link between the Old Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you see the order that Paul uses to bring these Jews to Christ and convince them of the grace of God? He's using the law lawfully or properly here. In our days, as we preach the gospel, by the grace of God, we go back to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus to bring men and women to Christ. Paul had to go back to the law and bring them forward to the grace of God. That's what Paul means when he talks about using the law lawfully or in the right manner. Again, the law can't save us. It only brings men and women to Christ. The law convinces and proves that man is a sinner and that he needs to be redeemed. To win a Jew, you have who has been raised in the Jewish tradition of the law, you have to win him by and with the law. Paul has set us an example in the Word of God of how to do that. You'll never win a Jew to Christianity by criticizing the law to him. You'll have to take him back to the practicing of the law and bring him down to the cross of Calvary. You will have to prove that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and not a continuation of the law. Peter did the similar thing in the second chapter of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Except Peter didn't use Abraham, he used David instead. Now the Jews think highly of Abraham, the patriarch, and they think highly of David, the king. These will get the attention of the Jew. This is using the law lawfully or correctly. I've listened to many preachers and missionaries who have dealt with trying to win the Jewish people to Christ. Most all of the ones that I've spoken to have told me that the only way to win a Jew is to use Isaiah chapter 53. I will agree that that's a good starting place because a devout Jew will not recognize the New Testament as the Word of God. The New Testament, however, does lay out the framework and the suggestion to you and me of how to win the Jewish people. You do not have to use the New Testament, but use the New Testament guidelines that's used by Peter and Paul and these other apostles and people who preached in the early days of the church. You're to use these New Testament guidelines to use the law to prove that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and did not destroy the law. In order to do that, you must study the Old Testament constantly and glean from its pages to grasp the golden nuggets that you can use to get their attention. It's hard to convince the Jew that Jesus is the Christ, the Redeemer, the King, and the Savior, and the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. They don't actually believe that Jesus was and is the Messiah. That's the reason they rejected Him. Actually, it's even hard to convince Gentiles in this day that Christ is the Redeemer. He's the King and the Savior. Amen. Paul had these divisions in groups in his church in that day, and we assume today also in our day. They're divided over different issues, but there's still division. These three groups of people are still in our churches and very much alive. Some want to push their agenda and theology, and are like those in Paul's day. They really don't know what they're holding to, but they feel they are right, and they will do anything they have to do to get it practiced in the church. You also have those in the church that have gotten anchored on the solid rock, glory to God, of the grace of God, and want to do what they can to build up the church and to win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're also that group that gets caught in the middle and do not know what they should do. They want to do right, but they are not sure what is right. These are the ones who suffer the most in the church among these groups. After seeing this for many years, now over 50, I have come to the conclusion that the only thing that will solve this problem is for the man of God to humble himself before God and ask God to fill him with the divine wisdom and power of God and then step up in the pulpit preaching the Word of God with power of the Holy Ghost upon him, and just let the chips fall where they may. God will take the Word of God and do the work, and that needs to be done in the heart. Amen. And he knows how to do it. Now this will work every single time it's done. I've seen it over and over and over. We hope that this study, 72, has been a blessing. Check out our new website, www.PastorDennisDills.com, all small letters. Or email us from KJV1611@windstream.net. God bless you. Amen and amen.